Welcome to the Black History Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Nishad Carrington. And last week, we kept things lighter than we had in, you know, the preceding weeks. And honestly, this week, we're going to go even lighter than that. Today's going to be a very short episode, so I promise you next week, we'll come back with something kind of hard-hitting that we can really, really dive deep and get our teeth wet with. Teeth wet? I don't know that that's the right phrase to use, but you get what I'm saying. So today's episode will involve the diaspora as always. And, you know, we are talking about history, of course, but today should actually be a fun episode. There's no need for any disclaimers of language or violence. And honestly, unless you're amongst the healthiest of the healthy, today's episode is one that everyone can sink their teeth into, no pun intended, and really should know something about. So let's get right to it. In the United States, potatoes are the second most consumed item, just behind rice. Now, that's not surprising to me. I love rice. It doesn't matter if it's yellow, red, brown rice, rice and peas, rice and gravy, rice with just a little bit of butter, or hell, even just plain white rice. I love it. And with it being the most consumed food in the US, clearly I'm not alone in that affinity. But I'm sorry, we aren't talking about rice, we are talking about potatoes. Now, when potatoes are thin sliced, fried, and salted, they actually go from being the number two consumed food to the number one snack food of choice. And today, we are talking about the invention of the potato chip. Before we fully get into the potato chip, we kind of have to talk about its precursor, which is actually still around to this day. Prior to the creation of the potato chip, was the French fry. In the United States, and from what I understand, most of Canada, the term French fry refers to all dishes of fried, elongated pieces of potato. But there is a similar reference in the United Kingdom, Australia, South Africa, Ireland, and New Zealand as well that generally is a reference to thinly cut fried potatoes that are sometimes called shoestring fries or skinny fries. And generally that differentiates them from the thicker cut chips of these areas. Now, French fries are usually served hot, either soft or very, very crispy, and generally are eaten as a part of lunch or dinner, or you can actually eat them as a snack by themselves. Now, I feel a little bit silly for going into this in detail, but we are all about history, and this is the history of the potato chip, so please bear with me as truthfully I bear with myself. Now, in the United States, fries are usually salted and are almost always served with ketchup, but in many other countries around the world, they have other condiments that, you know, complement them, like vinegar, mayonnaise, or other specialties. Now, I've seen some people from the New Jersey area actually eat them with gravy. And one guy actually ate it with gravy and like a slice of American cheese on top. And when I saw it at first, I thought it was odd and I won't lie, slightly disgusting. But then I kind of realized it's basically like eating fried mashed potatoes with gravy. But that didn't make me try it. It still just looked really weird, and you know, I'm a big visual person when it comes to food. But I eat my fries with barbecue sauce and sometimes mustard or even mayonnaise if I'm feeling saucy. But everybody knows the best kind of fries is loaded fries or chili cheese fries. But don't eat too much. Yeah, I don't know if the stomach or the bowels will agree with you after you finish those if you eat a big heaping plate of them. Now, there is a variation of the French fry that's called the oven fry that uses no oil or very, very little oil. So if you see oven fries advertised, just know it's basically the same as a French fry, but it's probably a significantly healthier option. So this will probably go a little bit deeper into French fries than you might have ever wanted to know. I promise to be brief, and actually it's related to the history of potato chips too. And so hopefully this next part will kind of teach you how to make your own proper homemade French fries, something I've actually always struggled with. But after, you know, doing this research and giving you this show, I'll have to try it myself again. And hopefully they end up better than they usually do before. So French fries are generally prepared by first peeling and cutting a potato into even strips. The strips are then either wiped off or soaked in cold water to get rid of the surface starch and thoroughly dried. Then they are fried, with most chefs agreeing that a twice fried fry produces the best results. Try saying that 10 times fast. Twice fried fry, twice fried fry, twice fried fry. Now, I think my problem actually has always been failing to soak the potato strips in cold water and probably failing to dry them as well. So I'll have to try it again and hopefully they'll fare better. So if you are to indulge in the twice fried method, generally the first fry is in a hot fat or grease bath, or oil bath, I'm sorry, not grease, but oil. Heat it to 160 degrees Celsius or 320 degrees Fahrenheit to cook the potatoes throughout. Then they are more fried briefly in really, really hot fat or oil, heat it to 190 degrees Celsius or 375 degrees Fahrenheit to crisp the outside. Then you put them in a colander or on a cloth to drain the oil, salt them, and serve them. Now, the key apparently is the length of time that you use to fry them. The first fry for, 2 to 3 millimeter strips is about 3 minutes, while the second fry would only be for a matter of seconds. And according to legend, Thomas Jefferson is actually the person who's credited with introducing French fries to the United States in the 1700s after serving as an ambassador in France. And he loved them so much that he would often serve them to guests at the White House when he was president. So now that we've got that established, let's get to the meat of today. What about the potato chip and its inventor? George Crumb, born as George Speck, was born in 1824 in Saratoga Springs, New York, to a Native American mother and an African American father. Now, Crumb's mother was a member of the Huron tribe, and Crumb's father was a jockey that used the name Crumb, and that's the reason that professionally George Speck used the name Crumb rather than his given last name of Speck. When he was a young man, Crumb actually worked as a guide in the Adirondack Mountains and as a Native American trader. But eventually, he realized that he had an exceptional ability to cook, and the culinary arts was his calling. By the summer of 1853, Crumb found himself as the head chef at one of Saratoga Springs' fanciest restaurants, the Moon Lake Lodge Resort, where, like many other places, French fries was a famous staple on the menu. Crumb, like many others, and as I described not too long ago, prepared his French fries lightly fried, and they usually were expected to be eaten with a fork. Now, though Crumb could make French fries, his actual culinary specialties were in his seasoned preparation of wild game, like venison and duck, with him never being afraid to push the envelope and really experiment with flavors and pairings in the kitchen. And by 1860, Crumb had actually ventured to open his own restaurant in Malta, New York, invariably called Crumb's House. Crumb's restaurant was in ridiculously high demand amongst tourists to the Saratoga Springs area, and even the wealthy seasonal residents of the area loved coming there as well. According to the diners, his prices were that of the fashionable high-end New York City restaurants, but the food and service were more than worth it. With everything possible being raised on his own small farm, and actually even his own farm got his own personal attention whenever he could manage to handle both the restaurant and the farm. As well, according to the diners, Crumb ran his restaurant on pure principle, shaped in large part by his Native American heritage. It was alleged that his rules of procedure were his own. His rules were very, very strict, and being a Native American, he never departed from them. Furthermore, he played no favorites. Every guest waited their proper turn, regardless whether they were a millionaire or the regular wage worker. The famed Commodore Cornelius Vanderbilt, which you probably recognize that name from Vanderbilt University, and I believe he was a railroad magnate as well in the US around that time, was once obligated to wait over an hour and a half for a meal. So that's just to suggest that Crumb, he didn't care whether you were super wealthy or just someone who could barely afford to eat at his restaurant. He treated everyone the same. So by now you have to be wondering, what's the deal with George Crumb and the potato chips? During the course of Crumb's life, there was actually no reference made to him creating potato chips. According to historians, the first recall of this was actually in the obituary of Crumb's sister, Catherine Wicks, who died in 1924. Her obituary stated, "A sister of George Crumb, Miss Catherine Wicks, died at the age of 102 and was the cook at Moon's Lake House. She first invented and fried the famous Saratoga chips." But according to legend, in 1853, Crumb was in the Moon Lake kitchen creating his famous French fries for a patron. Well, apparently, the diner wasn't happy with the way that his fries were cut and sent them back, asking for them to be cut thinner. Crumb obliged and cut them thinner. The diner still wasn't happy, claiming that his fries were too soggy, and sent the fries back again. According to the legend, Crumb was a bit more than perturbed and purposefully sliced the new batch of potatoes as thin as he possibly could, and then purposefully fried them as hard and as crunchy as his oil and his own sight and chef ability would allow him to do. And to top this new batch off, he salted them as heavily as he could and served it up to the customer. And Crumb, despite his reputation for having such amazing cuisine in his restaurant, really, truthfully, purposefully tried to sabotage his own client and his own meal. But to his surprise, the diner loved the new creation. And with his new hit, a new snack was born. After this, he did go on to open his own restaurant, as I mentioned, and every table received a basket full of his chips. But here's where Crumb ran into a major problem. The first patent in the United States was granted in 1790, with that being for a process of making potash, which is actually an ingredient in fertilizer. Now, that patent was given to a man named Samuel Hopkins and was signed by then President George Washington. However, whether it was in 1790 or if it was in 1853, African Americans and other people of color were barred from obtaining patents for their inventions or the processes they created. In a lot of instances, you have enslaved individuals who created processes or inventions, and because the individual was considered to be the property of the slave master tried to create the patent for it and take credit for the invention. Now, in a lot of instances, if you look through the course of history, the patent record will actually suggest that the slave owner was not able to actually get a patent for a lot of these items because they were not the creator, but neither was the enslaved person. Now, though the United States patent law was created with colorblind language to foster and encourage innovation, the patent system consistently excluded those inventors from their due recognition. For anyone who doesn't understand the importance of a patent, give me just a second to explain it in a little bit of detail, okay? Now, patents give inventors a monopoly over their invention for a limited period of time, allowing them, if they wish, to make money through things like sales, distribution, and licensing. The thing about this is, in the United States, the patent system is at the very heart of America's innovation policy. Patents provide very, very strong incentives for inventors who can spend millions of dollars and a significant amount of time developing an invention. To receive a patent, an invention must be new and contribute something useful. A patent cannot be granted to something that has already been invented, but a patent can be granted to improve an already existing invention. Patents can be granted to machines, products, devices, and processes, including chemical compounds, drugs, foods, and the processes that are used to make these things. All of those things can be patented in the United States. Now, this isn't to say that no African Americans were given patents. The first patent issued to an African American was actually issued in 1821, but that definitely doesn't mean that they came easily. And it definitely does not mean that these patents were readily given out. But because of these uphill battles, George Crumb never even attempted to patent his potato chips. Eventually, it was mass-produced without him receiving any credit. At the time Crumb created his chips, the potatoes were tediously peeled and sliced by hand. The invention of the mechanical potato peeler in the 1920s revolutionized the way that potato chips were manufactured and set the stage for potato chips to grow exponentially from small-time specialty item to a top-selling snack food. Today, Americans alone consume about 1.5 billion, yes, you heard that, 1.5 billion pounds of potato chips each year. Now, George Crumb died at the age of 90 in 1914, but his potato chips live on to this very, very day. So the next time you pop open a bag of Lay's, Pringles, Ruffles, whatever your favorite snack brand is of potato chips, now you know who created it. It was a Black and Native American man back in 1853. So that's our episode for today. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, suggestions for episodes that we should cover in the future, please drop us a line to info@thisiscarrington.com or visit our website at www.blackhistorypodcast.com and navigate to the podcast tab that's at your upper right-hand corner. Again, that website is www.blackhistorypodcast.com. Navigate to the podcast tab that's at your upper right-hand corner. As always, we look forward to, giving you something new, something fresh, something innovative. Hopefully, we are keeping the episodes fresh and new and something you've never heard of. I mean, obviously, we've all heard of potato chips, but how many people can actually say they've heard of George Crumb and understood and knew that a black man was behind the invention? As always, steel sharpens steel. So let us know your suggestions. Other than that, I'm going to wrap this episode up here, and I will catch you all the next time. Take it easy.